Tonight's episode of the Bill Simmons Podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network is brought to you, as always, by ZipRecruiter. You know it's not smart? Eating Chinese food at 3 in the morning after you've had a couple too many. Right, Nephew Kyle?
Right. Right.
I didn't do that, Kyle did. You know what else isn't smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Luckily, there's a smart way at ZipRecruiter.com/BS. They find people with the right skills for your job. They actively invite them to apply. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/BS. Find out why they're rated number one by employers in the U.S. based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with at least 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Meanwhile, SeatGeek continues to be the best app for buying and selling tickets to sporting events, concerts, and more. For $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase on any game or sporting event, use promo code BS. Download the SeatGeek app or go right to SeatGeek.com because this is a great time to buy tickets right now. Got bowl games coming up, NBA, NHL, not baseball, just about everything else though. Check it out, SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com or download their app. Don't forget to check out TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network, especially one of my favorites, The Rewatchables, came back late last week with All the President's Men. I think we might do one more before Thanksgiving. And speaking of podcasts, we have a crossover podcast in Vegas. Dual Threat, Ryan Russillo. You're not going to this, are you, Kyle?
I'm not going to make it, no.
Wow. Dual Threat with Ryan Russillo. Crossing over with the Ringer NFL shows, Kevin Clark and Robert Mays. They're going to be in Vegas. By the time you listen to this, it might be the night. It's Monday night. They're going to be at the Caesar's Palace, Cleopatra's Barge area at Caesar's. And if you want to get tickets, go to theringer.com. Check out @ringer on Twitter. We have a whole bunch of ways if you still want to go there. Las Vegas, we would love to see you. Come on out. Take some pictures with the boys. Need our Ringer fans in Vegas. Come on. Come see our dudes. Coming up, the Cuz first, Pearl Jam. All right, the Cuz is on the line. We spent the whole day together. I'm tired of you. He's tired of me. But we're going to do it. We're doing a pod. We spent like 8 hours together. Jesus.
Yeah, only 90 more minutes. Well, how could that hurt?
We put a video. I was just taping with my iPhone. I was taping you and our insane friend Brad was there. It was the first, it was once or twice a year he comes over to my house to watch football with us. And I just started taping.
That's too much, right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's, it might be too little. The whole Simmons family really loves him. Yeah, he's crazy. So we put it into a whole video that's on, you can find it on the Ringer's Twitter feed or probably on our site somewhere. But if
he has an opinion on everything and Bill, you know, Bill chose to capture, a 1/100th of his opinions.
Yeah.
And they're all entertaining, I think.
We decided to edit the bathroom visit he made when he was singing to himself and talking about cheese and God knows what else was going on. And ended it with false alarm. We were just dying. I might have to just put that up on my Instagram or something. Hey, let's start with the Jimmy Butler trade because
you're dying to talk about this. You had 2 days where you couldn't say anything. You put the camera to yourself and gave it.
I did that on Twitter. It was like, I don't want to have to do that, but it's of course the classic bad Ringer luck. The trade happens on a Saturday in the late morning Pacific time when. Uh-huh. You know, we have to rally the troops, but there's some gambling ramifications. This is a good topic for us. Phillies now.
Yeah, they sure are.
Phillies 18-1 now to win the title. I'm just going to reiterate what I said in the little stupid Twitter thing I did. I like the trade for Philly a lot, and it's one of those high ceiling, low basement trades where if it doesn't work, you know, you do the blackjack dealer back in 20 minutes, hand palm thing, and you just walk away. If it does work, they really have a chance to make the finals. They'll have three guys who are in the top 20 in the league if they're all healthy. And then JJ Redick as the fourth. And then they still have some assets, you know, potentially go get a fifth guy. They're still one guy short for crunch time. But since the last time we talked about NBA, we talked long and hard about the Bucks and their possibilities contender. We had no idea what to make of the Raptors. We assumed the Celtics were going to be awesome. We assumed wrong. They have started out rocky, to say the least. The East might be better than the West, Sal. Is that possible?
No, come on.
Is that possible? The top four?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter because the West is, you'd still take Golden State minus 200 over everyone, right?
Yeah, you would. But who? But the second best team in the West from a talent standpoint, it's arguable. It really is. Denver and Utah are probably the two consensus next man up teams. And then you have the Lakers with LeBron. We don't know what shape they're going to take then yet. And then you have a whole bunch of...
You can't count Houston out yet. I know they're playing lousy, but they could be good.
Houston, they had the Carmelo exorcism today, it looked like.
That might have helped.
It might have helped a little, but yeah, they had the bad juju. And you know, it's something we're talking about it. We're talking about it today with the Jags, like trying to figure out what happened to the Jags this year. Mm-hmm. And you were saying how a friend of yours was saying how sometimes when you get that close and you don't get there, it kind of breaks you for the next year. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that might be part of what's going on with Houston. You kind of have that one shot at it, and you know it's your window, and you need all these things to come together, and you're playing out of your mind, and then and it doesn't happen, and you're going back, and then the next season doesn't start out as well, and you just start going, oh man, I can't believe we were so close last year, and now we're here. I wonder if that's part of it.
Backbreaking. I talked about this. I don't know where I talked about this, but there's also the backbreaking. Every week or so, there's a backbreaking viral video of a possession, a Golden State Warriors possession, where there's like eight passes that ends in like a Steph Curry, you know, floater from 6 feet. And it's like players see that and they're like, oh God, how are we ever going to beat this team? Even if everything goes right.
Might be discouraging. So, then you have, you know, in the East, the way Giannis is playing right now, the Celtics spent all this time trying to get rid of LeBron. They finally got rid of him. And then Giannis and Kawhi show up. Two MVP candidates. Giannis is the best player in the league this season so far. And now Philly has, I hate the word big three, but it's a legit threesome. They have three guys who could potentially make the All-Star team.
It's so good, but as your Celtics are learning, sometimes too many guys is not the answer, right?
True. I think the reason I thought this might work with Butler is because you're basically just subbing him for Robert Covington, who is a very good defender, and so is Butler. But Butler can do so much more offensively, and he's a playmaker and the whole thing. He does like to have the ball and do stuff with it, and I think that part's going to be interesting with Simmons, whether he can just play off the side. But you know, the big thing for me is the chemistry part of this, because with Simmons and Embiid, you know, it's not like they don't get along, but I don't think they're best friends. And you know, they're both franchise guys who are kind of coexisting, and they complement each other in a lot of ways, and a couple ways they don't. I've never been able to really get a feel for what the long-term future of that relationship is, but now you're putting Butler into it with a young team, and he's been borderline toxic at three spots now, you know, like in Chicago and then Minnesota twice. And I'm not sure about his leadership. I'm not sure about how his locker room stuff. I thought the stuff he did was borderline reprehensible. Now he might get to Philly and be super happy and be a good soldier, but there's been enough bad juju with him over the last couple of years. What's your take?
Yeah, he's T.O. He's T.O. going to Philly, maybe, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Just like he did. Yeah.
Yeah, there is some TO. It's like, well, I'm better than you guys.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a four-horse race, right, in the East. You mentioned it. Celtics plus 175, betting-wise. Toronto also 175. Sixers now plus 450, and the Bucks 6-1 odds. Now, the Sixers odds, what'd you say? They're down to 14-1?
I had them at 18-1.
18-1? 18-1.
Yeah.
Right. They were 30-1 before the trade. We just mentioning this, for laps, T-Wolves went from 200-1 to 500-1. Wow. And congratulations if you have the under. I know some of my trifecta had the under and T-Wolves wins at 42, anywhere from 42 to 44. So do you think the Sixers over 53 is a guarantee now?
No, I don't, but I you need 70 games out of Embiid at least. He's been unbelievable, but I still want to see it. So I wouldn't say it's a lock. I would say it's definitely a really good bet. If you have it, you should be super happy about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not happy about? It's the Celtics 59.
Oh, yeah.
That's not looking great. Not looking great at all.
Love that.
I got to say it. I'm rarely surprised by basketball stuff. Like, even the Houston thing, I'm not surprised by it. I'm really surprised Stevens hasn't been able to figure out what to do with the guys on this team. Because I really thought he was the best coach in the league by far. He has not figured out rotations. He has not figured out who to play at crunch time. He keeps trotting out the same lineup with Horford, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Hayward, and Kyrie. And it's really low energy. And they just always seem to fall behind or start the game off slow. And it's not until the bench guys come in that they have an identity. And it seems like it's a little mix and match. They're playing Hayward way too much. I still think he's not even close to where he's going to be. And defensively, he's been really not good. And in crunch time today, they were just killing it. Portland was killing him in switches and stuff.
I mean, you know what the worst part of it is that I don't think you're considering? So 2 weeks ago, the Red Sox won the World Series on a Sunday night. We have to talk about that for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Last week, the Patriots beat the Packers on Sunday night. We have to talk about that for 20 minutes. This week, my Cowboys finally win.
I'm finally
not going to go to bed furious at Jason Garrett, and we have to talk 8 minutes about Jimmy Butler trade. That's the worst.
This is my audience wanted Jimmy Butler reactions.
All right.
Yeah, we definitely have a top four in the East, and then it drops off. I really like having Jimmy Butler on this Philly team because I think it makes the whole season more interesting. Because him on Minnesota, I thought I was going to – remember House and I were saying, we hope they don't trade him. We want the dysfunction all year. It got old pretty fast. I went to the Laker game on Wednesday. It was more depressing than anything. It really seemed like Towns was going to start crying during the games. So now Butler's on Philly, and I really want to see. Like, let's see it. You have three guys who on paper complement each other. Simmons and Bead and Butler, all of them do different things, and it should work. And Redick gives them shooting. And the Fultz is the big X factor, whether they can trade him or not. Though one of the things I liked about what they did is that they left room for one more trade because they have a future Miami pick or Phoenix pick, whatever the pick they got in the Bridges trade. They have that. They have Fultz. They have, I think they have one cap guy that they can move, but I like the position they're in. It's the end of the process, though, Sal. This is it. The process died. John Gonzalez wrote about that in The Ringer this weekend. The process is now over. It's time. We've reached the finish line.
The best part is, like, you know, it's funny. I don't know what videos you posted of our friend Brad, but he says how the basketball sucks. Oh, look at this November game. There's no one in the crowd. He was going on and on. Calvin Murphy, he went on and on about it, but at least the second round, if the favorites win out, is going to be exciting, right? Of the playoffs, it's going to be, you know, it could be Celtics against Milwaukee and Toronto against Sixers. That'll be great versus waiting to see who Golden State beats in the finals. So
yeah, I would say any combination of those four is fun, and I would not rule out Indiana. I think Oladipo, you know, he is in the conversation for second best player in that conference, and he might be. So
50-1 to win the East, Indiana.
The thing I like about them is they have a potential trade to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know if their team is a finished product yet. So just as a five seed, it's pretty strong for what the East has had in the past. Other than that, I don't know. But you're right. On paper, that final four in the East, and then in the West, you'd probably have some version of, I would say the Warriors, Denver, Utah, and the Lakers would be the favorites right now.
Yeah.
I'm not counting out the Lakers at all. And you just saw it last week. They just added Tyson Chandler out of nowhere. You know, everybody's like, oh my God, they don't have a center. And LeBron calls the Phoenix GM who he played with forever, James Jones. And he's like, hey man, could you do me a solid and wave Tyson Chandler? James Jones is like, sure, I'll do that for you. So he waves him. And now they have another guy. And I feel like that's going to keep happening. That's another thing to watch out for with Philly, too, is the buyout guys in February. We saw last year.
Yeah.
Remember they added Bellinelli and they added Ilyasova.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a huge impact on them in February. So I think that could potentially happen with the Lakers as well. You know, the Clippers are really fun this year, too. We should shout them out for a second. That is definitely the opposite of the Celtics, where the sum of the parts or the whole exceeds the sum of the parts. The Celtics are the sum of the parts. You don't know what the hell's going on. But I like watching the Clippers this year. I think
Milwaukee kicks the crap out of Golden State, and they have continue the West Coast trip, and they lose to the Clippers. It's fun. They're like mopping up.
Nephew Kyle took the other Ben Simmons to the Clippers Bucks game. He hadn't seen Giannis in person before.
That was incredible.
He's like an alien, right?
Yeah, it was incredible.
He did
turned your son into a Clippers fan. I don't know how that happened.
He got into it. He liked Harrell, and he liked a couple guys. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Giannis had that one play where he Euro stepped and then dunked left in overtime. It was unbelievable. Giannis is unbelievable. He really is.
We loved him for MVP. I don't know. Oh, you couldn't bet. You couldn't bet MVP. But
that was my recommendation.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I think you guys laughed at me when I talked about Bucks Lakers at 150-1
for the finals. Oh yeah,
remember
I did
that?
Laugh at you, but I did Bucks Warriors. I did
Bucks Warriors was 12-1. Now that's 6-1.
Yep. That's a good one.
I'm excited to see how this Butler thing plays out. And, you know, the truth is we sacrificed Minnesota to make Philly more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's a can't miss team.
Well, just thank God he went to the East. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Just if he went to Houston and they dumped Carmelo, I don't know any salary, how that would have worked or any combination of that, but that would have been bad. But yes, let's talk about the Philly team that sucked this weekend.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. I wanted to say with Carmelo, though, I wrote about him for Grantland, I think 4 or 5 years ago. Carmelo is just getting crushed by everybody, and with reason to some degree. But he's not the guy that, you know, he hasn't been that guy for 4 years now. You can't look at what he's done the last 3 years and then prorate it over his whole career. Now, I mean, Carmelo was a great player. You know,
they're killing the big contract that he didn't deserve. That's all they're killing.
Yeah, but I mean, in 2009 with the Nuggets, Carmelo, it was 2-2 in the Western Conference Finals. Carmelo outplayed Dirk the series before and was awesome in that series against Dallas in round two. And then in round three against Kobe and the Lakers in 2009, it's 2-2 going into game five. And the Lakers won the last two and had the better of them. But they were pretty close to winning the finals that year. And then in 2013, which I thought Carmelo was outstanding that year, I think I might have even voted him second for MVP that year, but then they go they go against Indiana round two, and Hibbert just annihilates Tyson Chandler, and that was the reason they lost. Tyson Chandler got his absolute ass kicked by Roy Hibbert, but those 2 years, Carmelo was absolutely good enough to be the best player on a title team. So you know, I know it's fun to kick Carmelo and make fun of him and bitch about him and the whole thing and ISO ball and he's selfish. The things that, you know, he took the money in 2011. He could have just waited until the end of that season and just signed with the Knicks as a free agent, but he really wanted to go to them before that summer because he wanted the bigger contract. Made the Knicks trade guys for him, so they lost Gallinari and Mozgov and some picks. And then I think in 2014, you know, he re-signed with them for an absolute shitload of money when he knew they weren't going to be good. I thought, and I killed him at the time for it. It's like, you obviously care about more about money than winning. So criticize him for that. But that guy was a great player, and he was an unbelievable scorer.
I'm just thinking of all the fan bases who hate you right now, starting with the Knicks.
What do you mean?
Just for that take, like, hey, back off of Carmelo. Like, he's one of the most hated players in the league. I know what you're saying. It's all true, but they probably all wish that he ends up on the Lakers.
No,
or
listen,
the Celtics, rather.
Yeah. You can shit on him all you want and complain about all different things, but don't say he wasn't a good player. The guy was a really good player. He was, for years and years, he was one of the best 10 to 12 guys in the league. And I thought
it's
he was the second best player in the playoffs and in the league a couple times, so. Or not in the playoffs, definitely in the league. But there's an interesting, in 2009, we were talking about it in the Ringer NBA Slack today. There was almost a Carmelo versus Dwight Howard finals, which I think would have blown up the NBA as we know it if that had happened. If Carmelo makes it, one of those guys has a completely different legacy. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to talk about football. Hey, football season is well underway. Sal has major regrets about his season-long fantasy team. I do not. I have good fantasy teams. I don't have regrets, but I still love the daily fantasy. I've been playing on FanDuel all season. Had a good week this week. I finally put together a decent team. Russell Wilson, Aaron Jones, Michael Thomas. Who was the other one I had? Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. My man, Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I was all in on the Nick Chubb thing.
Time to shine.
God, I had a whole bunch of good ones. But yeah, I finally did well on FanDuel. Over at FanDuel, you get the excitement of researching and building your team each week, regardless of the outcome. It's never been more fun or easy to play. You can check out their Gridiron Pick'em contest, a free contest. All you need to do is pick winners, no spreads, 10K split amongst the top pickers. If you've tried other DFS sites, and if you're not a fantasy expert, then this is the one for you. FanDuel is clearly the place to play. New users get a $5 bonus when they make the first deposit. Come play with me and a whole bunch of Ringer people at FanDuel.com/BS. All right, Sal, we did wonder if we'd be saying goodbye to Jason Garrett tonight. We're not going to be saying goodbye to him.
Yeah, that's a cup half empty way to look at this. I know, it's true. Damn, no, he's got to stay, right? They can't get rid of him. I know you like keeping him around.
I think for comedy's sake, when people are dressing up for Halloween as your coach, you know you've really stumbled onto something magical. I was actually convinced that we were going to be talking about how that was his last game and do you think they'll fire him tomorrow morning or whatever. Dallas played really well. They lucked out. The Eagles just lost basically all of their cornerbacks that game. How many were left?
Yeah, they all went down. Yeah.
Cooper looked pretty good.
The Cowboys came out with an aggressive game plan. Well, first of all, we got lucky that Van Der Esch is playing great. There's a lot going on here, I should start with. But that pick off of Wentz, I only turned it into three. But that was a nice start for the Cowboys. That showed me, wow, they're going to be in this. They're not going to get blown out. And to Garrett's credit, even though he doesn't call the plays, it was an aggressive scheme going forward. They went for it on 4th-and-1. There was a false start penalty, but at least they tried. They lined up. They snapped it. And then they had the fake punt. It was like un-Cowboy-like things to do during the game. And Dak was thrown downfield. Zeke had it all going. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it all came together. Very weird game.
But back to the Jimmy Butler trade. I just felt like... So you're 4-5 in the NFC East. The Redskins are 6-3. They played Tampa today. You were at my house. We had 4 TVs going. Did we watch a play of that game?
No, I think we saw the Redskins run it out at the end, run the clock out. I think that's all we really saw.
We just completely avoided it. The Redskins are 6-3 in their +1 point differential. It feels like 9 wins might win the NFC East.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
It feels like 9-7 takes it.
This late in the season, 6 is pretty good, even for a team that we probably can't figure out right now in the Redskins. Like, what did Alex Smith do? He's threw for like 178 yards. Like, I don't know how they did. First of all, that game, I thought that'd be over 55 points right there. Tampa-Washington. Yeah. Tampa never wants to play defense. So the fact that it ended 16-3
bizarre.
Is very strange. But yeah, the Eagles not looking great right now. Giants are not going to do anything. I'd like to see the odds tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say the Eagles have one specific problem. It's like a bunch of things that aren't great. I'm looking at the Washington schedule. Houston week 11 at home, at Dallas, at Philly, home for the Giants, at Jacksonville, which is suddenly looking like not a hard game, or maybe not as hard as we thought it would, at Tennessee, home for Philly. So,
I mean, home for the Giants, home for Philly might be enough to win the division, right?
Well,
they win those two games.
They have the home and home with Philly. They split that and they win the Giants game. All they have to do is win one more game to get to 9.
That could be enough. 8 could be enough.
Well,
8 could be enough.
And then you look at Philly. They have Washington twice, so they could single-handedly make up that deficit. Unfortunately for them, at New Orleans this week.
Yeah.
Home Giants, home Washington, at Dallas, at the Rams.
Yeah, at the Rams.
Home
That's
Houston.
The last game.
At Washington. I got to say that they're borderline cross-off, Sal.
They're very close because that Rams game is going to mean something, I think. I think they're going to have to play that game to get home field or second or something.
So even if we give them a split against at New Orleans, at the Rams, even if they go 1-1 on those two, they still have to sweep Washington to have any chance whatsoever. I don't know.
And then you look at Dallas. They have Atlanta this week. They have New Orleans. They're home for that. I'm just looking at their tough games. And then they have the Eagles again. They drop those three. That's eight losses. They're done too. I don't know what. I don't know how this plays out. I really don't. This is the most messed up division.
Week 16, you're home Tampa. Week 17 at the Giants.
Right.
So if you can somehow even get to 7-7 for those last two games.
Yeah.
So you have to go 3-2.
I don't even look at the Giants as a win. Like this, who knows what team shows
that's
up.
True.
This, you don't know that this is the Cowboys team we're going to see. Yeah. But well, it is nice that they played, so their defense played so hard without Sean Lee. I haven't seen that in a long time.
My favorite moment of the whole game was before the game. Michelle Tafoya interviewed George W. Bush and his wife.
I missed it. I was just getting out of the car, but I got a lot of notes on it. What happened?
And then he ad-libbed this whole joke about Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth's golf games. And everyone was laughing. And it was the most conservative Republican quartet moment that we've had in a long, long time. It was really great. It was like the four of them had just come back from hiding more ballot boxes in Georgia. And then they had a nice big laugh.
Someone told me it was like he was doing the Will Ferrell impersonation.
It was just great. I mean, I love Al Michaels. All of those are, it was just this, every cliche we have about the NFL, it was everything all at once.
It was there.
And yeah. you could see like the other 30 owners just having a chuckle. Oh, he made fun of Al's golf game. It was just classic, like rich guy, old white stuff. Good times. What else did we see this weekend? It was a pretty boring set of games for the most part.
We saw Brad spin around. We saw Brad almost have a heart attack on your outdoor court. We saw, I don't know. We on the TV.
Yeah, Brad was really more interesting than any of the games. There were the early games. There were just a slew of blowouts, so that wasn't great.
We kept wanting Indy Jacksonville to be good.
Yeah,
and I guess it was for a few minutes, but
it was a hell of a push.
That's another division that these teams might be good. I mean, well, let's talk about your team now, blowing it to Tennessee. I think that's next on the docket, right?
Yeah, I feel like the Red Sox winning the World Series has just ruined all my other teams now. It's like I can't have good things all the time.
I said to you, if you would have heard the final scores 34-10, how many houses would we have put on the Patriots, not even our own houses? And you said you would have been convinced that Tennessee won that game.
I told you last week I was really worried about this. I didn't think the Pats were playing well. They didn't look good against Buffalo. They pulled a lot of gimmick bullshit last week against the Packers to steal that one. They got some fumble luck from the Packers. I just didn't think they were playing well. And Tennessee's the type of team that gives them trouble. The QB that can scramble around, the coach who knows their offense. Brady, I mean, he looked 41 today. I'll leave it at that. Nephew Kyle wouldn't know because Nephew Kyle woke up around the fourth quarter. And the real reason we lost was Nephew Kyle never showed up.
Some bullshit.
Until 3 in the morning.
Bullshit.
He followed suit with the Patriots. They both showed up in the fourth quarter. Well,
a lot of jokes like that. Nice.
If Nephew Kyle doesn't have the urgency to show up for a Pats game on time at 10 o'clock, why would the Pats feel like they had to be obligated to show up?
That's true.
He showed up at 12:30 and they had the same kind of attitude.
Fair enough.
Brady looked like a 41-year-old man today, and he probably had 10 terrible throws.
Yeah, I had a dozen written down. I had like a dozen bad ball, double throwing to the backup tight end and double coverage. Just
the guys
really
weren't
bad.
Open. In his mild defense, the receivers really weren't open. It doesn't really seem like Edelman can get open in the same way anymore.
3 for 15 on third down. You're not going to see that anymore from them, or before or after anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, Lombardi always talks about Canadian football and trying to get first downs and two downs, and the red flag teams are the ones that are always looking at that 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 13. And that was the Pats this whole game today. So
yeah,
they're just not that impressive. They really aren't. I mean, we've learned not to count them out, but if Gronk is not out there or if Gronk is 50% of Gronk and there's just not like that game breaker dude on the, for them offensively and then defensively, you know, it is what it is. But you watch.
Well, here's why I thought it was a weird loss. Like, anyone could beat anyone at any time, and Tennessee's decent enough to pull an upset on the road. But coming off a short week, they beat Dallas Monday night. You got Belichick had already lost to Matt Patricia. How many assistant coaches are going to lose to him 1 year? You figure he's going to have it planned for Vrabel. And you guys are on a bye this week.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh looking good Thursday night means nobody wants that two seed now. The one seed is more important than ever.
Pittsburgh
just didn't really add up to me.
Pittsburgh really lucked out with when they caught Carolina, catching them on a Thursday, you know, at home, just the perfect storm for them. With that said, they've played well now for five straight weeks. They've looked really good. And yeah. And if you told me the AFC title game was Pittsburgh versus KC and no major injuries or anything, I think I'd have a hard time taking KC in that, even in KC. Because
Pittsburgh beat them every year, don't they? Whenever they play them in the playoffs, they beat them.
KC had a lot of trouble with Arizona today. We had that on for most of the second half. And Arizona's not good, and they were just hanging around. I mean, you could say it was a trap game, and you thought they could show up and win all that stuff. But, yeah, Pittsburgh's
well,
last.
I mean, they went back and forth between almost losing and almost covering the 16.5 points.
Right.
I think David Johnson had his best game in years. You know, Rosen, for a team that was catching up, did not have good numbers. It was like 22 for 39, just over 200 yards. But, yeah, maybe they are looking ahead to the Rams game this week and didn't care too much about blowing them out. But that it was a little – some of these teams, the Rams need to do something on defense. I don't care how many times they beat Seattle. And KC needs to lock it down too.
Yeah, Steelers last five, they beat Atlanta by 24, beat Cincy by 7, beat Cleveland by 15, beat Baltimore by 7, beat Carolina by 31. The schedule fairies have gifted them with at Jacksonville, at Denver this week, or next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, those are two games
at Jacksonville. At Jacksonville was supposed to be the Sunday night game. They flexed that right the hell out to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game where you would normally think that would be one of their toughest games of the year. Jacksonville has also had a history of kicking the shit out of them. So that's probably the most fascinating game next week. I mean, we're going to get to the Lions in a little bit, but if there's some demons they have to exercise in that Jacksonville game. You know,
he's spreading that ball out, though. He had 7 different receivers for touchdowns last
week.
Yeah, he
looked great.
And this James Conner thing. So it really looks like Le'Veon Bell is not going to show up. And I think he knows it. I think he knows. I commented this week, like, he's the guy bringing a 6-pack of O'Doul's to the keg party. Like, yeah, no one cares about you anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be, for comedy's sake, you're going to get hurt your first week back, and then you missed a big contract anyway. So it's probably smart for him to sit the rest out.
I didn't agree with this plan of his. It was pretty suspect.
Yeah.
It certainly isn't going to drive interest unless he knows he has some sort of wink, wink giant deal coming next year, which I doubt. James Conner's good. I think the biggest thing for me is Roethlisberger really looked like he might be on his way out in those first few weeks and really looked good the last couple of weeks. I thought
working
he was awesome
everybody.
On Thursday. Yeah. They have, as usual, they have, you know, 3-4 good receivers out there at all times, half of whom you never heard of until 3 weeks ago. But, yeah, I would say I think Pittsburgh and KC are pretty high above everybody else right now. Chargers, I don't want to say they're a distant third, but they're definitely unequivocally third.
Right.
And then after that, maybe the Pats? I don't even know. Are the Pats the fourth best team?
Oh, stop it.
Pats are 7-3.
You lost one game. You're all right. You're all right.
7-3, Sal.
I'm more interested in like the sixth seed and stuff like that. I'm looking for that wild. We still need a team to bet against. And I don't see it in the AFC South yet. But you know, if the Ravens have to start Lamar Jackson, drop a couple in their next games, who's gonna get that sixth seed? Not the Bengals. Not the Dolphins.
Right.
Probably going to be another AFC South, like your Colts.
You and I really like the Colts, and I had a nice little bet on them today, and it ended up pushing, which I was bummed out about. But now they're 4-5, and just naked eye test, watching all these teams, I just think they can move the ball. I think offensively, yeah, they can move the ball
when they drive down the field. But they'll just get the kickoff. You'll look up like, wow, they're at the 25 already. What are they doing?
They do not have a hard schedule left. Home Tennessee, home Miami, at Jacksonville, at Houston, home Dallas, home Giants, at Tennessee. So they get two cracks at Tennessee. They can knock them out. The big Houston game is at Houston. They lost the OT game to the against them in week four. But yeah, that turned into a surprisingly fun division, right?
Yeah.
I have
that home against Miami, you said, a couple weeks from now, that could be a loser leaves town for the wild card position. They might still come back and win the division. Who knows how it's going to play out, but.
Well, we decided, as we were watching Jacksonville Indy today, we decided that it was a loser leaves town game.
This one today? Yeah.
Yeah, because now Jacksonville's 3-6. They're not making the playoffs. That's done. Sayonara. Can we cross them off?
Home against Pittsburgh.
Can we get a Sharpie and cross them off?
Let's do it. Let's cross them off.
All right. Bye.
Let's cross them off.
Bye, Jacksonville. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to the Week 11 lines. Let's talk about our old friends from SimpliSafe. If there's one thing I know, it's that you can never count out the underdog. No matter how big the odds, people can surprise you. That's one reason why I like SimpliSafe Home Security. It's an amazing security system that's winning all sorts of awards right now. But 10 years ago, they were a huge underdog. If you wanted a security system, you had to go through a huge corporation, sign expensive long-term contracts with hidden fees for systems that were completely outdated. That all changed when a young electrical engineer named Chad Lawrence started designing SimpliSafe's first security system in his kitchen. Kyle, there's going to be a quiz on this after. He wanted to get rid of long-term contracts and hidden fees. He wanted to start a security system that treated people right. Now, over 2 million people trust SimpliSafe to keep them safe. Not bad for a security company started in a kitchen. Protect your home with SimpliSafe. Support this show by visiting simplisafe.com/BS. That is SimpliSafe with two eyes. Let them know we sent you. Simplisafe.com/BS. All right, we got more football to discuss, but we can just do it under the framework of the Week 11 lines. Some good ones this week.
Yeah, we'll fit it in.
Not good games, but good lines that I actually had to think about. I'm like, oh, that one, okay.
Well, let me tell you why I think it might be good this week. Because six teams are off. Patriots are one of them. Okay, they're good. We know they're good. The Dolphins are 5-5. They're off. We don't know what's going on with them. They're any good. I mean, you watch Brock Osweiler every week. That's their identity. The Bills are off. The Browns are off. The Niners are off. And the Jets are off. So that leaves good teams all around the league, right? Pretty much.
I mean, on paper, you're correct. But for some reason, they're not playing each other.
I know. No, but it's a decent, not too many clunkers, I'm saying.
Yeah. I had trouble finding the marquee game. I had some candidates, and then
Marquee game's probably the new Sunday night game, don't you think?
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's the Sunday night game.
Oh, yeah, we can't count that. Yeah.
Well, let's go Thursday night.
Well, the night games are good. I think that's why it's a problem.
Look, I like what they've done where they've made the night games good. And they turned Sunday into kind of fantasy and gambling, basically, and maybe one signature game. And you're saying, I actually think it's the right thing to do. Seahawks home for the Packers. You and I watched a lot of the Seahawks today. And that was an interesting game for a few reasons. Once again, the Rams can't really, they have trouble closing out games with their defense.
Uh-huh.
And the other team just kind of hangs around and hangs around and hangs around. And they can't. They could finish them off offensively, but not defensively. They lost Cooper Kupp, which is a really rough one. I think they can actually replace him because I like that Josh Reynolds. I actually stashed him on my fantasy team in case a few weeks ago, in case any of these guys got hurt. I think he's good. But so that was a headline from it. And then also, like, you and I both like Penny, that rookie running back in the Seahawks. So everybody was complaining about in training camp. I thought he had a really good game today. And
I had to look at it a few times because this just didn't seem right. But they ran all over them. They ran all over the Rams. They had 273 yards rushing. Is that right? Now I'm not getting any service on my phone. But
yeah.
Penny had 108. Russell Wilson had 92. Davis had 58. Lockett had 18. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a big problem for the Rams down the stretch. But the why Seattle can win or keep up is they still don't throw downfield. Like in a catch up game, Russell Wilson was 17 for 26, 176.
Yeah, remember,
that's not enough.
Remember at one point, it was in the fourth quarter, they showed the stats.
Yeah.
And he was like 10 for 13 for 87 yards. It was like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And right. we were like, what the hell is going on? But
well, I think this is a loser leaves town, Green Bay at Seattle. I mean, maybe the Seattle's just going to play the Rams tough every time. Maybe it's just that's how it is. I mean, last year I watched that game at your house too, and the Rams just crushed them. But maybe the division game, they get up for it. It's a different story. But either way, this Green Bay Seattle, one of these teams is going to have 5 wins or 5 losses, and one could have 6. So it's a tough one.
I don't think Green Bay is good. So I my prediction would be they're the loser that leaves town.
The only thing I'll say is they have a decent
running back.
Seems like a decent running back for the first time in a while in Aaron Jones. But they have like 145 today. So that helps. That relieves Rodgers of some pressure.
There's no something's missing with that team. Mm-hmm. I don't like the vibe. See, it just seems very difficult for them.
You think half the team wants McCarthy fired?
Yeah, it seems like they're in limbo between errors. I have Seahawks by 2.5 over Green Bay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had. It's a full 3.
So I wanted to go 3, but we've seen over and over again this year, Green Bay is just getting absurd respect from the Lions. Like even today, they were, 10-point favorites over Miami? They're not 10-point.
Right.
Miami's 5-4. Green Bay's 3-5-1. And the Packers are favored by double digits against Miami. That was ludicrous.
That didn't make sense. But they did cover.
They did cover. But that was a ludicrous line. And if you bet on Miami and you lost, you're probably pissed off.
Let's just say last week, the top 11 public plays all covered. This week, they took it back a little from you. They Atlanta lost on the road to Cleveland. The freaking Bills, Jets, I still don't know what happened there. Bills won 41-10.
Yeah.
And, of course, your Patriots. And then tonight, a lot of money was on the Eagles. Drove that line from, like, 5.5 to 7.5.
The Jets being favored by a touchdown over Buffalo was insane. When they were one loss away from their coach getting fired, which he'll probably, by the time you hear this, he might have already been fired. That's it. That's
some people are saying Sam Darnold should win Rookie of the Year just based on Josh McCown's performance. 17 for 34, 135, 2 picks, and that's all in garbage time, basically.
But doesn't Josh McCown have like a 20-year-old daughter?
Does he really?
I think he does. Research that shit, Kyle. So weekend at Bowlsies. This is it. We're now officially water skiing with him. He's just bobbing around the water.
He's got to be next. Then they're on their bye week. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's time. Sunday marquee. I'm going with Steelers Jags. The Jags, we crossed them off, but they can't officially be crossed off until they get to 7 losses. But more importantly, I think there's bad blood with these two teams. I think the Jags have had their number. I think there's going to be trash talking all week. And this is the kind of game, if the Steelers are really kind of have their mojo, I think this is a take care of business game for them. They got to go in there and kick the shit out of Jacksonville. And that's how we'll know this is a potential Super Bowl team. They have a lot of scores to settle. This is a team that has bullied them and done all kinds of stuff to them and knocked them out last year in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So
they didn't give them a chance. I mean, they fought back Pittsburgh, but were they 3 touchdowns ahead to start that game?
Yeah, and then remember the other time they played last year, Jacksonville beat them up too. So
right,
I'm really interested in this one. I have the Steelers favored by 5 in Jacksonville.
Yep, I had that too, and it's 5.5. We're right on. You didn't make had Philly won, you would have definitely made Philly New Orleans the marquee matchup, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I realized I initially had that as the marquee matchup. I don't really enjoy watching Philly. Do you?
No, they're not fun.
Something's kind of just dead inside about them. Like they won their Super Bowl and I don't know. I just don't enjoy their games. I thought I would enjoy them more.
To be exciting and he's not. I mean,
he's
it's
not.
Fine that he hits Ertz. You know, he'll find Ertz in the end zone every hour and a half, but I don't know. I don't see a lot out of them.
How are you feeling about Amari Cooper, by the way?
He's good. He kind of extends drives. He gets open. It's a nice, precise route runner.
They kind of like him on the Cowboys.
They could put him anywhere. I don't know that he was worth a first-round pick, but and if they zigzag to 8-8, I don't know if that was the right decision, but it makes the offense more fun for sure.
Well, that's another thing when winning that game tonight. You know, if you lose that one, you're 3-6, and you're really starting to look like that's a top 7 pick.
Right.
So now you don't have to worry about that as much. Congratulations on that.
It was big. It was
I have two watchables games for you, and one of them is, I don't even think it deserves to be in there, but Saints-Eagles, we discussed. It's in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. The Saints are the best team in the league right now, and really, really, really eviscerated Cincinnati. We had a feeling it might be coming because Cincy was so banged up, but the way that line was and the fact that Davenport wasn't playing for the Saints, and it did have the makings of the Bengals hanging around and making an in string. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was a 30-point game. Saints continued. Breeze has got to be the MVP favorite, in my opinion.
And you pointed out, like, there, and what did he pass Favre, right, for touchdowns? Second now for touchdowns?
Yeah.
And you know, they broke that record early in the year. Like, they really are setting it up for him to win MVP, right? Like, their game plan is such that they should win MVP. Like, any drive that could be a 3 is a 7. You know, they just, when Ingram's on fire and Michael Thomas, they're kind of unstoppable.
Well, today I was watching when they were running it up. That was when we kind of looked at each other about the Breeze MVP. So there's a moment in that game when you kind of just start handing it off and, you know, they clearly want him to win the MVP, and they should. He's really good. He has two dudes on his offense that are twice as good as anyone on the Patriots offense.
Mm-hmm.
Kamara and Michael Thomas. Those guys, like, we had, you know, Gronk there for 6-7 years was just a freak and by far the best tight end, you know. And you could always say him, and then Edelman to some degree, and then Deion Lewis last year I thought was really good. But those two guys are just, and then Gurley, and you watch some of these guys around the league, and I keep looking at my team, and I'm like, man, we're not even in the ballpark. We don't have anybody in the ballpark.
I wish I could feel bad for your 7-3 team. It's going to be like 13-3 or 12-4 or something. But
I'm wiping my tears with my 5 Super Bowl rings. But
the problem is no one could pressure Breeze either. Like, no sacks from Cincy today.
Yeah.
No sacks from the Rams last week, right? What was it? But no sacks, right? And they punted once. It's kind of the same thing. Like, you need them to punt twice to have a chance, right?
And this is...
They don't get there sometimes.
It's a revenge game in its own weird way, because even though the Eagles beat the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl last year, that was the Saints' spot.
Oh, right.
And now the Saints finally get a chance.
I hit this one exactly. What did you get?
I went Saints by 7.
Ah, man. All right. You got it, too. 7 it is.
We're teasing them.
I'd be very surprised if they lost that game, right?
You know, I've been saying for 2 months that we can't freak out about the Eagles until mid-November and that they're going to make their run.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're running out of time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I just thought of something. That every year... No, every year we say to ourselves on this podcast, we should look at that. And then we forget, and then another year passes, and I think we've been doing this 12 years. So there's 3 Thanksgiving games.
Right.
Bears-Lions, Redskins-Cowboys, Falcons-Saints. So the Saints have this, you know, this will be a tough game against the Eagles. And then 4 days later, they're playing the Falcons.
Oh, yeah. That's in Atlanta, obviously.
Yeah. So.
The night game, right?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's in New Orleans. So both of these are in New Orleans.
Oh.
But I wonder.
Does no AFC teams playing on Thanksgiving?
No AFC teams.
Hmm.
But I wonder, we always talked about whether the looming Thanksgiving game affects the team the week before.
Oh.
You don't remember this? Maybe I was doing this. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to get a stat on that. I'm going to try to find that.
It might be another podcast I'm on.
Right.
No, check that out. That could be a good one for locking in.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
All right. The other game I have, I only had 2 watchables this week. The other one is Ravens-Bengals in Baltimore, just because I'm excited for Lamar. And I like when the Ravens and Bengals play anyway, but I want to watch that one. I'm excited for him.
That's a fun one. There's no line on it because I guess there's a chance Flacco could play. I thought Baltimore would be a 1-point favorite, but I could be way off with Lamar.
I'm going to spend the next 4 days trying to find the one Ravens fan who hopes Flacco can be activated and start in that game. I'm sure he's out there somewhere. Somebody who really loved that one Super Bowl. The barely watchables, we have six. It's a barely watchable kind of week. First off, Atlanta, home for your Dallas Cowboys. I have the Falcons by six.
I think that's, what'd you say, Falcons by six?
Yeah.
I have my four, and it's 4.5.
Oh.
I think that's more than barely watchable. That's a good game.
Your team was watchable kind of this week. Kind of.
Yeah.
It was, what was it, 3-3? Nephew Kyle took, I think, three naps during the first half. He just kept passing out.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's just, I don't know if your team's watchable, so. It got a little more friskier in the second half. And then at one point, when they traded touchdowns, Al Michaels or Collinsworth, one of them said something like, these are just two heavyweights slugging it out. And I was maybe more like junior welterweights.
Yeah, I don't know how nephew Kyle could sleep through so many bathroom breaks from Brad, but he was able to do it.
Neither of us were feeling good today, I'll tell you that.
So I have Falcons, so you won that one. The next one, Carolina is in Detroit. Detroit is falling apart. It's a bummer because we predicted this, or I predicted it. It was one of my passion points in August, that Matt Patricia was going to be bad as the Lions coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was bad to start the year. And then all of a sudden they had that game when they beat the Pats, and it looked like he actually was going to be pretty confident. But now it seems like he's not confident. Right. I don't know what to think anymore is my point.
I don't know either, but I do know the worst team that I could bet on or against or anything. So as soon as I lay any sort of money on Carolina this week, it's going to go down, right?
I also love Carolina. 10 days rest coming off that Thursday game.
Yeah.
It's a borderline must win. I have them favored by 3.
We're going to split this because it's, I said 4 and it's 3.5. This is another one, the game before Thanksgiving. So let's see what Detroit, I'm going to check out that trend. Maybe it amounts to something.
I like Cam indoors.
Yeah.
My Colts.
That was a weird game, that Steelers game. I don't know what to make of it. Panthers jumped out early. They're up 7-0. And, they're using McCaffrey right and all those things. Like maybe Cam's not in the MVP discussion anymore, but still a good team, I think.
Yeah, I just think the Thursday night games, you can't ever learn anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
Too weird. So my Colts, home for the Titans of Tennessee, coming off a big win.
Yeah.
Deion Lewis throwing some shade at Belichick, was talking about how they were cheap.
Oh, yeah, I meant to bring that up.
Yeah.
What did you say, they're cheap?
Kind of agree. The Pats love to cut corners. They're certainly not lavish.
No, but Deion Lewis, I don't know. I think they proved that, you know, they could do this with James White or whatever.
No, Deion Lewis is better than James White.
Oh, really? I remember you not liking James White. And some people brought that up to me. They're like, get on Simmons' case. He hated James White and he's about to set the running back record for a reception.
Oh, congratulations. James White is fine. Whoever has been in that spot, people were like, oh, James White is so much better than Shane Vereen. It's like, Shane Vereen was good, man. We won the Super Bowl with Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen in the Seattle game was absolute money for that whole second half. You know, and Kevin Falk was money too. James White is a terrible runner, is the problem. He's good.
He's going to maybe set the record for reset. If you ask Brady, he's probably the MVP on the team.
Yeah, but my point is,
aspirator.
I'm going to aspirate it right now. My point is, we throw to the running back all the time because we don't have a tight end anymore.
Yeah,
he used to throw to tight ends, and he would have the slot guys and then the running back coming out of the backfield, and he would spread it around. And now Edelman doesn't really get open the same way that he did. He had like 9 catches and 104 yards, but they were all catches where there were guys draped all over him. It just doesn't seem like you rarely see him just flying open in the open field. And then Hogan, I don't know what happened to him. I think he was replaced by an imposter.
Yeah, he was like better last year when he was nicked up and playing every other game, you know?
But I think that they're throwing at James White so much because he doesn't really have anyone else to throw to. So right. It's not like it's like incredible.
Well, Tennessee beat my team, then they beat your team.
I like Deion Lewis, and Deion Lewis was awesome last year for the down the stretch for the Pats. What's our next game?
Well, we didn't get Tennessee, Indiana.
Oh yeah, I got Colts by three over Tennessee in Indy.
Yeah, we both said three, and it is three. Probably a stay away, but I want to.
I like the Colts. I like the Colts. By the way, we cover that if Vinatieri makes the field goal.
Oh, that's right. How long was that? We didn't even figure that out. We kind of saw the end of it.
Yeah, I think Brad was telling the story about how he woke up because he was having a stroke.
I think that was it. He woke up. He claims last night he woke up at 4:30. And he said, God was ready to take me. And I said, nope, not yet. And out of spite, he went across the street and got a hot dog at 7-Eleven at 4:45. It's like, take that, God. He had a whole thing going.
he was explaining it to us that you know when you're about to have a stroke.
Yeah.
And you can fight it off. You know what the signs are. Neither of us knew what to say. And I think your son was just tuning him out. But But it ended with him waking up and walking around the kitchen for a while to shake it off and then deciding to go to 7-Eleven. He said he got a hot dog. And then in what's not a news flash, apparently the hot dog wasn't very good.
He said it was terrible.
From the store 24, I'm sorry, the 7-Eleven in a not great part of LA at 4:45 in the morning on a Saturday. Apparently that hot dog wasn't that good.
The Rampart
7-Eleven, the 5 o'clock hot dog scenes apparently lacking. Oh man, the Texans are in Washington to play the Washington team that nobody has watched this year except for Joe House and Donnie Kwok.
Right.
I have the Texans favored by 1.5.
You know, it's funny. Washington Redskins fans, they all say the same thing. Like, oh, cuz you should have checked with me before betting my Redskins. Like. Well, what does that even mean? They're 6-3. There's got to be some good time to bet them, right?
Yeah.
Like today was a good time. But what did you have them as a spread?
I had Houston by 1.5.
Yeah, what am I missing here? I was way, way off here. I had Washington by 2, and it's Houston by 3.
Mm.
Both 6-3, right? Road game. I know Houston's coming off a bye, but...
I think it's more of the NFC East is just not good.
I guess. I don't know when all the AFC South got so much juice, but I guess that's the case.
We had a Ringer midseason NFL meeting on Wednesday, and mm-hmm. Joe House was in town. And I was like, you should come to the meeting. He's like, great. We got like 30 people in there. I got a lot of my young Ringer people in the room and some interns. Mm-hmm. And start talking about quarterbacks, and House isn't saying anything. And then somehow Alex Smith comes up. And you've met some of my Ringer people.
Sure.
Just a nice, quiet, professional group of young people for the most part. Some older people, but just a nice group. So go, hey, House, what do you think, Alex Smith? He's like, that motherfucker sucks. He starts bad-mouthing Alex Smith, drops like 3 MFers in the meeting. I was like, oh, my God, why did I invite us?
Good.
Not a fan of Alex
season.
Smith.
We need to throw MFers around.
Yeah, not a fan of Alex Smith is the moral of that story.
He didn't kill them today. I really don't know what happened. Not much of anything happened in that game.
Hmm. Last one, barely watchables. Chargers home for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I got the Chargers by 9.
You get this. I went way higher. I went 11. But Vegas only has it as a 7-point favorite.
Hmm.
You want to tease that with the Saints, but you're a little nervous.
I like the Chargers. They've been good for me. I had Phil Rivers in both fantasy leagues. Enjoy that.
He came up a little short for me today, but I want odds on Gruden making it to Vegas. They beat the Raiders 20-6 today. I want odds on Gruden making it to Vegas and Carr making it. Carr going to Vegas is it 10-1 now?
Oh, 10-1? I would say like 20-1.
They have to cut him. They just have to say goodbye to that contract.
There's a really weird moment at the end of the Chargers game, and I don't know why I noticed it, but the Raiders are trying to score even though they're down 20-6. And they ran a play and it was like ticking down. It was like 10, 9, 8. And Carr was like frantically at the line trying to get one last playoff. And like his running back was in the right spot. And with like about 3 seconds left, he realized that we're going to get the playoff. And he looked like a little kid, like all the life left his body. And it was just, he was like those old Incredible Hulk shows that we grew up with when Bill Bixby, yeah, at the end of the show, it was like, it didn't work out in another location. And it would, they'd play the sad piano music.
Right.
And it would just be like,
backpack on, walking away from him.
And it was like, Carr just kind of, the life went out of him. And he just kind of had this look on his face like, God, my life sucks. And he did the Incredible Hulk walk. Oh, right. And I felt really bad
for
him.
And it was 20-6. It didn't even matter. Well, I guess he wanted to cover the spread. If he want, he wants to be welcome in Vegas with
maybe
open arms. So.
Maybe he had a tease. Hey, Crown Royal is doing something pretty cool this football season. They launched a responsible drinking program called the Water Break. It's all about encouraging people to hydrate between drinks for a better experience, whether at the game, watching at home, or in a bar. Have a great time. Enjoy some Crown. Just don't be that person that ruins it for everyone. We've all seen that guy who drank too much watching the game. Make the right call and take a water break. So Sal, who made the right call this week or not?
Well, this seems ridiculous. I don't think anyone would ever say the Browns front office made the right call, but they did. They did in trading Carlos Hyde for a fifth rounder to Jacksonville. Now, you don't get much for a fifth rounder, but
yeah,
it opened up the opportunity to feature Nick Chubb, who went crazy today. He had, what did he have today? I have it written down. He had 176 yards on the ground and 20 carries. He's been lighting it up for like a month. He's over 400 yards for 4 games on the ground. He catches passes. Nick Chubb, what a fun player to watch, right?
Nick Chubb's great. I have him on both fantasy teams. Yeah. I have a Nick Chubb in my pants right now.
There you go. Good decision. Browns front office. I said those words.
Unbelievable. My right call of the week is going to go to a guy that I've been really critical of, Jimmy Butler. He acted.
Well, let's talk about that for 15 minutes.
He acted like a huge dick. He did everything he could to get traded. He was a terrible, unprofessional teammate. He was completely nonsensical with, I still don't understand what he was so upset about in Minnesota, but he clearly just wanted to be on a different team. Mm-hmm. And somehow it worked out for him. He ended up in Philadelphia. The T-Wolves lose 5 straight games. Thibodeau realizes, I'm going to get fired. The only way I can save my season now is if we actually get anything for this guy. So they get Sarich and they get Covington for him. And they might actually be better just because their team chemistry is going to be so much better. And Jimmy Butler ends up on Philly on a contender playing with 2 of the best under 25 guys in the league. In a weird way, he made the right call. I got to hand it to him.
So what was the right call? Acting like an a-hole?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
He sabotaged his way out of town and it worked. It really did. It worked. He did it from every sort of thing, every move that he played and picked and tried and whatever weird strategy he had, it worked. He's in Philadelphia. Congratulations, Jim Butler. Crown Royal reminds everyone this football season to take a water break and drink responsibly. The Poopfecta. 4 games left, 2 in the Poopfecta. Giants home for the Bucks. I didn't watch one moment of Bucks Redskins. I promise you I'm not going to watch 1 minute of Giants Bucks. Giants, I have favored by 2.5.
Oh man, I had 2. I guess I get it because it's -1. I'm not proud of guessing that closer than you are. But
congrats.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them tomorrow. I guess we have to stay away, right? Would you take 3 points? It seems like this Mullins who came out like Joe Montana.
I'm not going near that game. I need 12 points from George Kittle, so I'm going to be rooting for them.
There you go.
Cards,
fastest tight end in the league by far.
Cards Raiders, Cards home. Was mildly impressed by the Cards today. I thought they hung with KC a little bit. I have them favored by 3.5 over David Carr and his sad Bill Bixby walk in the Oakland, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders.
You get that? I said 2. I didn't think you could make the Cardinals that much of a favorite, but it's actually 4. Vegas hates the Raiders. They're moving there and everything, and Vegas all of a sudden hates them. I guess with good reason.
We should mention, I forgot to mention, you finally won in fantasy this week.
Yeah, I did. I want to thank Matt Ryan. I want to thank Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette. Thanks for stepping up.
You poured it on. You won by 40 points.
We did it. We did it.
I was really...
I have to just keep winning because I don't want to pay for this banquet, this Shakey's Pizza banquet. So
I was so excited for you to go 0-13. I really feel like it would have been something for the ages because you were trying to win every week. I really wanted it to happen. I'm sad.
I was making pickups. I make like 2 pickups a week, which cost $5 a transaction. I'm in it. I need to win. I can't have that hanging over my head.
The funny thing is half of us don't even go to the Shakey's banquet. It ends up being like a $50 bill.
Yeah,
you spent more. Spent more in transactions trying to avoid the Shakey's banquet.
I wish I was smarter. I would have been able to figure that out ahead of time.
Sunday night at Chicago, Minnesota is going to be visiting them. Trubisky looked good yet again today.
You know what's weird? Every week he plays, and it's like, I don't know if I could take Trubisky giving 7 points. I don't know if I could take him laying 3 points or 4 points on the road. And they kind of win and cover a lot.
Yeah. I think Trubisky is starting to get, it reminds me a little bit of the Sixers with the process the first couple years when everybody was so mad when they were losing intentionally. And then this small fan base of people who were convinced that Sam Hinkie was bringing them to the light and that this was a new way to approach how to build a basketball team. And they got named the process, the whole thing. And they just became these insufferable zealots for the process. Kudos to them, by the way. It was fun.
Yeah. If they win this week, they have a game and a half advantage with 6 left. That'd be big.
So the Trubiskyites remind me of those Sixer fans in the process, the early stages. Mm-hmm. I feel like, what should we call these people? Trubiskys.
Just call them the Tate Frasers of the world, I guess.
Well,
I
he's one of their leaders. There's no question.
Right.
He's like the dude. I can't remember the guy's name. The guy who has the rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, Spike Eskin.
Oh, okay.
I think Tate Frazier can be their Spike Eskin.
Yeah,
but
Mitch's bitches. I don't know what you want to call him.
That's the one.
No, Mitch's bitches. That's not as catchy as the process.
Oh, the process. Okay.
No, it's like Trubiskites.
Oh, okay. Trubiskites.
Or Biskers, or I don't know. The listeners, if you're out there, try to come up with a name for these Trubisky maniacs.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to feel them out there a little bit when he does well. It's like, yeah. Yeah, you think Trubisky sucks. He just shoved it up your ass. Yeah. Who sucks now?
7-year Mitch? I don't know.
7-year Mitch.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. How's shitting on Trubisky going? He just threw for 300.
Well, you know what we never see, especially with these young quarterbacks? And this might just be in my head, but I feel like he gets rid of the ball faster than he did even like 5 weeks ago. You know? He doesn't hang in the pocket forever.
Yeah.
Take stupid sacks. I like to see like time in the pocket. We have hang time for punters, right? I like to see that for just quarterbacks. Like, I bet he shaved off a half second in the pocket. Helped.
I think he is unquestionably more comfortable than he was in the past. Now, I will say, it's not like they played a juggernaut slate of teams.
No.
They played, man, these are some bad teams. You go backwards.
Well, Tampa was the big game where everybody padded their stats. They scored, what?
Since week 60. 3, they're at Arizona. Tampa at Miami, home for my crappy Pats defense. The Jets at Buffalo, and then Detroit.
Yeah, the Patriots are the only playoff team in that bunch. Yep.
Yeah, keep shitting on Trubisky, man. More excuses. No, it's the schedule's fault. Maybe he's just good. Trubisky.
What do you have for a line?
Bears by 3.
You're going to get it. I think you beat me this week. I had 2.5.
Yeah, okay, Simmons, you didn't believe in him.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, yeah, you have 9. I have 7, not including the tie. Including the ties is a win for both of us. So there's 1 game left. You won already?
Yeah, we're done.
This is terrible.
Monday night, a classic.
Game of the year.
Do we go to this?
We go. It's in Mexico. Sure, we can go. You have your visa.
We are not going then. I've done my one sporting event in Mexico City for my lifetime.
That's it?
Yeah. That changes my line. My line guess. I'll go with. Wow, that's interesting. Neutral location. Now I got to rethink this.
Yeah, leave it to the NFL to give this great game to Mexico. It's crazy.
If it had been in LA, I think there would have been 50,000 Chiefs fans there.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to say Rams by 3.5.
I said 3 and it's 2.5. So I get that.
Okay.
I would think that goes up. And it's I think our friend Ben Folk said it's the biggest spread since 1986, 64 points, biggest over under.
64. God damn. Let's take a quick break, then we're going to do Parent Corner. Oh, I'm so glad before Parent Corner to talk about MeUndies. Tackle your holiday shopping. Get everything you need for you and your loved ones at MeUndies, the only underwear I wear. 4 different cuts for men and women. You get a style that's perfectly suited for you. They use a coveted micro-modal fabric, 3 times softer than cotton, available in classic colors, adventurous prints. This holiday season, they'll be releasing a new print every Tuesday. Celebrate the holidays right down to your very core. But why stop at Undies? They offer holiday prints in their lounge pants and onesies, both of which are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. They sent me some lounge pants.
Word, me too.
Did you wear those?
I wore them.
They were awesome. Not only did I love them, but I wore them to go get coffee, and I didn't care.
Out the house, huh?
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't care if you judge me. Probably.
I was lounging.
I'm lounging,
Kyle. I was lounging, for sure.
But man, these lounge pants are comfortable. You know why they're comfortable? Because they're lounge pants. My listeners can get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. All you have to do is go to MeUndies.com/BS. What a no-brainer. MeUndies.com/BS. All right, we're back. I have an apology to make to my degenerate son. Last week, I said on the Parent Corner that that he threw his remote at the TV and broke the TV and now is banned from playing Fortnite. What actually happened was he threw the controller on the ground angrily. Mm. It bounced off the ground and ricocheted into the TV.
Oh, wow.
So what's funny is my son adamantly saying how he didn't throw the controller into the TV. That's not what happened. I threw it off the ground and it bounced into the TV. That's somehow much better. So anyway, apologies to him. I had my facts.
Well, what he didn't tell you is that he had been practicing that move for weeks, bouncing it off the ground into the TV. So I don't know. You could maybe give him more credit.
I don't even know how he did it. Like his TV is probably like 4 or 5 feet up off the ground. It had to have been a real whip. You got to live Parent Corner today as Brad was heckling and berating my son and talking about how he's going to be trouble and it's fine. I went 1 for 2 because he likes my daughter, but this other one is almost hopeless.
We played Pig. You didn't hear when he was taunting your son while he's playing Pig. He's like, oh, you're going to hit the rim? Every time your son would shoot, he'd be like, oh, cover your head. Cover your head. Screaming at him.
What do you got for Parent Corner this week?
Not a lot other than, you know what? The greatest athletic performance in the Icono family for many generations to come occurred this Saturday when my 4-year-old Harrison scored 6 goals.
Wow.
6 goals. After not scoring he scored 1 the whole season, first 7 games, scored 6, doesn't do anything special. He hustles after the ball. He runs through his kicks, follows through, and just is very focused. And actually, he does do one thing special. After the goal, he does a bushwhacker type celebration dance. Not even really a dance, but he just does, you know, look at it online. The Bushwhackers were a tag team in the late 80s, early 90s in the WWF. And he did that. He avoids the handshakes and everything. He just bushwhackers his way back to midfield and they start again. So congratulations, Harrison. There you go.
Do the other parents look at you kind of side-eyed a little bit when he's in the Bushwhacker? Yeah,
after like the fourth goal, I was like kind of drifting towards my car a little. I was like, all right, come on. Also play a little defense. You don't have to go up every time.
He really wanted those goals. I think nothing would be funnier than if he became a soccer kid and was like in the club soccer scene and you had to go to all these soccer games.
After all the shit you've given
me over the years.
Have it with basketball now. The worst.
My parent corner is really quick, but I think it says a lot. It's a very short story. I was sitting watching TV with my son like three nights ago, and he was like playing. He's playing on his iPad, and he's like, "Dad," and I was like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Do you think I'll ever be the president of a frat someday?"
Wow.
And I was like, probably. And he's like, all right, cool. And then just went back to the Fortnite. I have no idea why he asked me this. I don't know if he now aspires to be the president of a frat, but,
were you watching,
I was watching like basketball. That's what made it weird. It wasn't like,
you weren't watching Animal House?
No, it was like Revenge of the Nerds was on. And he was like, it was just out of nowhere. He's just on his mind. He was wondering if someday there's a roadmap to him becoming the president of a frat.
Well, I would have maybe issued a follow-up question there.
Yeah,
what the heck are you talking about?
Didn't really understand.
I didn't know anything about frats and presidents and everything.
So then we saw friends this weekend whose son went to USC and they have frats at USC. Mm. And he was in a frat and he was telling my wife about the frat. And she's like, I think Ben should go to USC because they have frats. And I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. And then the other thing is,
does USC have concrete, screens in their plasma TVs?
Hopefully.
They need more than frat.
So then my other part of the parent corner is, he told me we were at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
He smelled weed in LA Live.
Oh.
And told us that
so excited.
He knows what weed smells like because from the Migos concert. And now he knows what it smells like.
Well, now he smells hot dogs. And he's like, that's weed. I was like, no, that's food. And he's like, oh, okay. All right. But that was weed. And I was like,
he's the weed detective.
It's hard to smell it's hard to blame the aroma on the California fires at the Migos concert a month ago. Right?
Nephew Kyle has a cousin corner.
Oh, from the game?
Oh, let's hear
it.
So some dude stopped this fucking tattoo I have now. It's like a fucking target on me. So we were leaving the Clippers game and some guy was screamed out, Nephew Kyle. And I turned around because I'm an idiot. And he's like, oh my God. And that's the real Ben Simmons. And, you know, Ben and I are waiting for our cab. And he asked us to take a picture. He's like, thank you guys so much. And he like walked away. And Ben, for like the whole 30 minutes that it took us to get back, was like, we're famous now, Kyle. Like, we're celebrities. It's like, no, Ben, we're not. And he literally, like, he was just high the whole time. He was high on life. And weed, I guess. I don't know.
Where do we tell us the guys at the frat?
So I was just going to say, this is going to pale in comparison from the one he's named president as next frat.
I'd worry about him being great. Like an enforcer, though, within a president, like a sergeant at arms guy at the frat.
Hey, we should mention it was a horrible week in California here, or a horrible weekend, and it really looked bleak there on Friday. We were just watching this fire rip through Calabasas and Thousand Oaks and Westlake and all these places, and it was just going closer and closer to the ocean. And I got out here in 2002, which you were out here a couple years before. But when both of us moved out here, there was this legacy of all this terrible stuff that happened in the 90s, right? They had the earthquake, Northridge. They had the fires. There's some big fire in the mid 90s. I can't remember. And the OJ trial, the Rodney King, the race verdict, the riots, all this stuff. It was just all these terrible things that happened one after the other. And then when we got here, nothing really bad happened. This is the first time I've been out here where I was like, oh my God, is Malibu going to burn down? It really started. I went to bed Friday night and I couldn't fall asleep and I was watching the news and the fire was getting closer and closer to Pepperdine, which is the most beautiful campus in the world. I've been there a bunch of times with my daughter over the years playing soccer, and it's just like the best. And they're debating whether to evacuate the kids off or not. And it was just the whole 24-hour stretch was just absolutely petrifying. And a lot of people lost their homes. Some people died. All these people were fighting the fires. It's still, we're still not out of the woods really yet. And, you know, as usual, Trump comes in with a tweet and just not empathetic at all about anything that was going on. But it was a really scary weekend to live here. And, you know, you see stuff that's happening, you know, when you're living your daily lives and things are happening in this city or that state or over there and you're not part of it. It was really crazy to be this in the middle of it. And, you know, even sitting in my backyard on Saturday, 45 minutes away from all this, and there's ash falling on us and you can smell it. And it's, I can't even imagine what it's like to be in the epicenter of it, but this was the scariest thing that's happened since we've lived here. Right.
I think so. And you know, like the conversely, like, you know, people that live in the East Coast and check with us, like they're like, hey, I would never give up the weather for the earthquakes. And I was like, all right, let that be their thing because the weather's great and the earthquakes are few and far between. So fine, joke's on everybody else, but this is terrible. This is really bad. I mean, you see things on the news, you see pictures and video like you would never imagine in a movie. It would take tens of millions of dollars to recreate what's going on out there. So yeah, I mean, donate whatever you can. There's so many